You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
Welcome to another episode of the Ivy Podcast. My guest for this episode is Dr. Chen, is the Chief Medical Officer of Chen Med, a physician-led primary care practice whose goal is to deliver affordable care and superior experience to seniors across the United States. Dr. Chen, who leads the Chen Med clinical model, is directly responsible for the management of all clinicians and clinical leaders, clinical training, quality, outcomes, physician culture, and medical costs. Dr. Chen holds a bachelor's degree in economics from Brown University as part of the Brown's program of liberal medical education. Following the family tradition, Dr. Chen accepted a scholarship to attend the University of Miami School of Medicine. Dr. Chen remained in Miami for his internal medicine and cardiology training. He is a board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and echocardiography. And that was a mouthful. Welcome, Dr. Chen, to the Ivy Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me, John. Great to be here.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated by the whole story of Chen Med, starting with your father. Do you mind just sharing with the rest of us the story of how the whole, you know, Chen Med came about? What was the background around it? And on what principles was it founded?
Sure, sure. You know, you always got to start small. And the main principle that my parents, my father in particular, championed was this principle that in a full risk model, if you do the right thing for patients, everyone wins. And he took that, and every time that there were savings from actually improving outcomes or healing patients, he would reinvest those savings back into the patient care, back into prevention, back into access, back into removing barriers that prevented his patients from getting healthier. Mm-hmm. And so that was the underlying principle. With great clinical care in a full risk model, then you could take the savings and reinvest it back to further perpetuate health. Mm-hmm. And so that, I would say that's the main principle of the clinical model. And then personally, what happened with us as a family is kind of like the other principle that allowed us to experience and suffer really through healthcare. You know, when my father was diagnosed with cancer, when we first started, there was one medical center. He was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. He was told that he had 2 months to live.
Oh, wow.
My brother and I were finishing up, you know, our training. I was finishing up medical school. He was in his cardiology fellowship. And we really bonded together as a family, and we were faced with losing our dad. And it was just my brother and I and my parents. Mm-hmm. And we said, you know, we need to do everything we can to try to help him, try to save him. And we had to navigate through this really complex health system that wasn't designed for coordination, for outcomes, for health. And although we had all the medical training, we didn't really know where to go. We had to do all this discovery on our own. And mm-hmm. As we're fighting for his life and experiencing complications and misdiagnosis and ER visits and all of these things that patients go through, we realized that this is a broken system. We need a better way. Mm-hmm. If we, as a family full of physicians, are suffering through like the healthcare system, imagine like our seniors that maybe they don't have a doctor in the family. Maybe mm-hmm. they don't have the educational level mm-hmm. that they need. Who's helping them? Who's sticking up for them? And so it was with, you know, the principles of the clinical model saying, hey, better clinical care in a full risk model can lead to everyone winning. And then experiencing personally what happens when you're in a broken healthcare system mm-hmm. gave our family this burning desire, this passion for making things right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's definitely, you know, a very fascinating story. And like you said, if, you know, family of physicians couldn't get that great of a care in first place, regular people who didn't have access to that type of expertise, I guess that would probably be even more challenging.
That's right. And so you can imagine as, you know, we're waiting with my dad for hours for the, you know, to see his doctor. Mm-hmm. we're thinking, what about our patients that are waiting? How do we track to make sure that their experience and their wait time isn't what we're having to go through?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do we build the right technology to make sure that if we can scale this, if we really can make this change across America, we need to be enabled by technology to do that. So how do we build the technology that will allow us to scale, that will allow us to build the right focus on patient experience, mm-hmm. and then to allow us to deliver better outcomes?
Great. So that leads me to another topic I wanted to discuss. You've talked a little bit about the overall physician-led and patient-centered model. I'm just curious, how is this different from how other practices operate? If you have any specific examples that you can share with us, that would be insightful.
That's a great question. There are a lot of organizations that say they're physician-run, physician-led. And then there are also a lot of healthcare organizations that, quite frankly, aren't run by physicians. The main difference, I think, a fee-for-service model is a broken model. It incentivizes volume and RVUs and transactions. And healthcare and value and outcomes, it's not transactional. And so you can take the best leaders, and they can be physicians, and if it's a broken system that perpetuates the wrong type of outputs, then you're going to get the results that the system develops, mm-hmm. right? You're going to get the outputs that the system generates, right? Which is volume, transactions, RVUs, mm-hmm. and perpetuating sick care. That's fee-for-service. Chen Med is different, right? Mm-hmm. Chen Med is based upon a full risk model. We're focused on value-based care. And so outcomes matter. Healing patients makes a difference, right? And so if you're in an environment where the focus is on healing patients, then who do you need to lead that? You need doctors to lead that because they're trained to heal patients. And so this is an environment where actually physicians can step in and lead and say, hey, I know what's best for the patients. I have the relationship with the patients, and this is the path forward to better health. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. When we say physician-led, we mean that the physicians are actually put in a situation where they can lead, and when they lead, the patients win and they win.
Right, that makes sense. You've touched a little bit about, on volume-based versus the value-based.
That's right.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into that as far as what is the, in essence, the difference between the two, and what are some of the initiatives that you have in place at Chen Med towards that shift from the volume to value-based?
That's a great question. So when I refer to fee-for-service, that's really describing the volume. That's describing getting reimbursed based upon the number of patients, the number of transactions that are occurring. At Chen Med, it's different. We're focused on value. And the fundamental difference is if you're generating value, you need to improve outcomes. Mm-hmm. If you are improving outcomes, you need to build relationships with patients, because the relationships that are built will lead to the right behavior changes. Right. If you don't have the relationships with patients, you can't influence them to change their behaviors, mm-hmm. right? And then you're going to lose in a value-based care model. You're not going to generate the outcomes that you want. So in Chen Med, we're focused on value-based care, recognizing that outcomes lead to the best value. The best outcomes lead to the best value. If you can prevent an issue before it happens, that's going to lead to the best mm-hmm. value. In order to do that, you need to build relationships. So then the whole thinking around mm-hmm. Chen Med and what we're doing is, how do we develop great relationships with patients where they want to come in, they want to see their doctors, they want to follow the advice of their doctors, they trust their doctors well enough to take their advice and continue to follow them, right? And so it's a fundamental shift from transactions to relationships that lead to behavior change, mm-hmm. right? Volume versus value is something that just needs to happen mm-hmm. in America, because otherwise we're going to continue to overpay for bad outcomes. And we're here to help you to achieve your highest health goals. So I'm with a patient. I said, what are your highest health goals? What do you want, in the best years of your life? Do you want to live to 100? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to get off medication? Do you want to be functional? Do you want to have certain level of activity? What are your highest goals? Mm-hmm. And she said, I would love to live to 100 and feel well. I said, all right, wow. If you want to live to 100, we've got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. Where you're going to have to come in frequently. We're going to have to look at your diet, all your medications. We're going to have to look at optimizing all of your, you know, your diseases. You're going to have to lose weight. You're going to have to exercise. All of these things. But let's map out that pathway. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be the person to help you along that path, that journey, mm-hmm. to check in with you frequently to see how you're doing. And this is something that we don't do in healthcare today in a fee-for-service model. We don't value accountability, trust, relationship building, checking in. And in ChenMed, in a value-based care approach, we're focusing on helping them achieve their goals, then it makes sense. So when they're coming in frequently, just like we're developing this relationship, it's a coaching relationship, mm-hmm. I'm helping them achieve their goals. That's the essence of the frequent touches, mm-hmm. right? The other thing around frequent touches, there's just this contrast between what we were trained in, how we were measured as medical students and residents, that long, comprehensive, and infrequent visits are the way to go. That's how we were trained. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think that it generates the most benefit in a fee-for-service model, these mm-hmm. long, complex notes that you have everything in there, and, right. and then you see them back every 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. If you change your goal to say, my goal is to actually get them to improve their outcomes, I need to build a relationship with them, I need them to change their behavior, then the influence needs to change. And so it changes to short, targeted, and frequent visits, because when you're changing behavior, the more focused you are, right. the more impactful you're going to be.
Absolutely. And that's, you've mentioned one keyword, coaching, which I think, you know, definitely stood out to me as part of that entire process. You really, you know, almost partner with the patient and develop that strategy towards better health, you know, longevity, or whatever that their objectives are. That's pretty impressive in terms of you as a physician investing that time to developing that relationship with the patient.
Understanding mm-hmm. our role as health coaches is critical for us to be able to help patients move to better health. Right? And there's this confusion right now in healthcare where the question is, who should be the health coach? Should it be someone who's not a physician, or should it be the physician? Should the physician be only focused on the things that only physicians can do, or should the physicians broaden and take the responsibility of the health coach? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is in our population, we're taking care of seniors. We're taking care of the old, the poor, and the sick. It's something that we're very passionate about in terms of transforming care of the neediest population. And so if we're taking care of the old, the poor, and the sick, and these patients oftentimes are on multiple medications, have multiple chronic conditions, they're very complex patients, the health coach needs to understand and be able to prioritize and manage the patients. Whatever steps are needed to get that patient to better health, they need to be able to understand. Mm-hmm. And so you want a physician in that position leading the decision-making, right. the prioritization, right? Because, you know, maybe the priority is changing a medication mm-hmm. that only a physician is able to do or trained to do.
Yeah.
Well, then that's the most important influence point for the patient, or getting them off a medication that they don't need. A non-physician wouldn't be able to kind of make those critical decisions. And, you know, when you're talking about the old, the poor, and the sick, then, you know, you need the level of training.
One thing I noted down is health coach. That's, you know, definitely one of the things that stood out. Obviously, to have this culture, to have all of these initiatives in place, you need to surround yourself with the like-minded people, with, you know, the rock stars, the high potentials.
Yeah.
Curious, how do you go about attracting that top talent to ChenMed? And what do you look for when you talk to potential candidates? Is there anything that stands out, or what do you try to get out of those conversations or the interviews?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, as I travel around to our different markets, we have 14 markets, we have over 60 medical centers, and I visit them and I spend time with the doctors. I am convinced we have the best primary care physicians in this country. The level of care, their detail, their relationship with the patients inspires me. So when I visit the centers, I am just energized by the amazing doctors and the amazing care that the doctors and the care teams and the centers are able to provide. So it's really energizing. And so when you have that group of doctors and PCPs that are doing just amazing things, what it does is attracts other people that are like-minded. Right?
Absolutely.
And so then other folks want to join the team and say, hey, you know, I want to do what ChenMed doctors are doing. You know, the other thing is, I think great clinical talent and folks that are mission-minded. They want to make a difference locally, but they also recognize the big problem that we're having in healthcare across this country, and they want to make a difference nationally. Mm-hmm. And they want to be part of this movement where we can actually, as clinicians, change healthcare. Mm. You know, we can do this.
Right.
And so they see that potential to actually be a part of that team that's like making a difference across America. And they say, hey, I want that. I want to make a difference locally, and I want to make a difference nationally because it aligns with my mission. And so we're able to attract folks that are kind of called into that mission-driven approach, like why they went into medicine in the first place, to make a difference, to heal people, right? And so they are attracted to us. The other thing is we're growing very aggressively. Mm-hmm. You know, we're probably one of the fastest growing primary care organizations in the country. Right. And so with growth comes opportunity, because we promote from within very heavily. We invest a lot of time in training and developing our physicians to be leaders. You know, they're getting coaching, they're getting black belt training, you know, they're getting all of this time dedicated to help them grow. Mm-hmm. And so the folks that want to grow and that want to lead, they say, hey, ChenMed is a place for me, mm-hmm. right? And there's no other way to develop leaders than to get the experience leading. And they get that here. So just if I were to sum it up, you know, why are doctors choosing ChenMed? Well, ChenMed is where primary care providers are in this family type environment, and they're fulfilling purpose and personal opportunity at the same time. They don't have to make a trade-off to say, hey, you know, I want to make a difference, but I'm going to make lower money. I'm going to get lower pay. Mm-hmm. No, or I want to make more money, but you know, I'm going to have to commit to being part of a system that, you know, is not aligned with my purpose mm-hmm. or my mission. Right, where I can't make an impact. No, at ChenMed, they can have the fulfilling purpose here and make a difference and connect with patients in deep relationships that leads to better health. And they can also have great personal opportunity. You know, they can do well financially. They can go on a great career path. They can have the right work-life balance.
Right. Yeah. And that passion for that better care, I'm pretty sure that's contagious every time you talk to, you know, prospects or potential candidates. That matters a lot. And I can hear that in, you know, your voice and how you basically explain the passion or the culture that you guys are trying to build here. So speaking of the winning corporate culture, you guys are growing tremendously. You're no longer that small organization when we first started. Being in healthcare or healthcare IT space, more specifically, my concentration is on building high-performing teams. So I'm always curious about how does that happen within other winning culture organizations such as ChenMed. Can you expand a little bit further as far as any initiatives in place that you guys have that helps you build or cultivate that winning corporate culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we haven't figured it all out yet. We're still learning, but I think we're on the right track. Having a winning corporate culture is number one. I think about focus. And if everyone knows where we're going, what we're doing, what our strategy is to win, and folks understand where they fit into that equation, what are their roles in helping us to get to our vision, then that's step one. We gotta have a great vision, know where we're going, and know what we're doing. And so I think that's one of the things that we've really tried to do well here is have clarity in our vision, our mission, our values, and our strategy for winning. All right, so that's one thing. The other thing, back to building really tight relationships and being very results focused. If we have those two in top of mind, how do we win at results and relationships? And that isn't just with patients. That's with our corporate team, how we treat each other, how we invest in each other, develop each other, help each other set great goals, and then check in along the way to help each other reach those goals. You know, I think that's the second component. The third component is, I think, the connectedness to what we're doing with patients in the front lines and celebrating the success of our PCPs and our amazing care teams that are delivering these great outcomes. So I know at any given time, you know, how many patients that we have in the hospital. We have 273 patients in the hospital in our organization right now. We know it. And our corporate team knows it. And things like, you know, example out of Norfolk, right? A patient of ours was very regular, coming in, never missing an appointment, always on time. And it took a care facilitator that picked up that the patient wasn't picking up the phone. This is very abnormal. We know the patient very well. Let's send someone to their house. Someone went to their house. They weren't answering the door. This is very abnormal. What's going on? We're able to get into the house. The patient was on the floor with a blood clot in their lungs, dying, literally dying. Wow. We're able to get that patient to the hospital, get the patient the medical care they needed, saved their life. And so what happened is there was corporate connectivity to that. Everyone in the corporate team celebrated that win. These type of things happen every day where we're celebrating the wins across the organization. So there we can feel and touch and see the difference that we're making for the neediest patients. Right. And so, I think that adds fuel to the fire. I mean, we work hard, but when we see the difference that we're making, we're saving lives. Real patients, we're impacting real patients, and they tell us that, then that becomes energizing. So I would say those three things, very clear vision, mission, values, and strategy, right? That clarity is key. Building, culture of relationships and results is really key. And then, lastly, just a really connectedness, true and real-time connectedness to what we're doing in the front lines. That's what we're currently doing here at ChenMed. I think we're on the right track, but, we're still learning.
Great. Information technology, especially in healthcare, is a personal passion of mine. It's always been an interest, the role of information technology in IT. Yeah. To the extent that you can share and I can respect that, what are some of the innovative programs that you have at ChenMed that involves IT and involves technology?
Yeah, so IT is critical. It's so critical for us that we have our own IT department. We have our own EMR, practice management system, our own data teams, our own data systems. You cannot do well in a full risk model flying blind or not being empowered by the right technology. And so in today's day and age, you see kind of, epidemic burnout almost, because physicians are being forced to click so much that it takes away from their joy of medicine. And so what we did at ChenMed is we said, we can't have that. We need an EHR that's designed by physicians for physicians. And not only designed by physicians for physicians, but designed by PCPs for PCPs in a full risk model. And so the idea was, how do we minimize the clicks and the burden of documentation so we can add more face-to-face time with patients? Because it comes back to influencing patients. Right? So how do we streamline things? So that was really critical. That's step one. Step two is, how do we have the right data that can guide us into where we're focusing our attention? And, I share an example with you. We do have, data systems and algorithms that help us understand who our sickest patients are. And they can be a combination of claims data, our internal data, risk predicting tools. And then we can also incorporate their physician's worry index on how worried is the physician that the patient's going to get admitted. And we can package that together and predict with pretty good accuracy who are the patients that we need to be spending more time in. So that's been a big win for us. Lastly, technology and data, we're not, I think as a healthcare community, a healthcare system, we're not short data, okay? There's almost data overload. Right? There's not a deficiency of data. There's too much data. And so then it comes back to, how do we get the right data in front of the physicians, and so they can make the best decisions at the point of care? And so that's something that we're on a journey to continue to figure out, and we're going to continue to peel back the layers of the onion on that. But then it becomes not more data, but the right data at the right time.
You nailed it on the head as far as data is always there, data is available, data overload. Yeah. But what separates, the success, stories as far as how the companies actually use the data, being the data-driven, data-enabled versus just, having the data there and using to, how that applies to some of the strategies you have in place to predict, to analyze, and which could possibly lead to better outcomes and so forth. That's exciting to hear. So in closure, I always ask that to all of the guests on the Ivy podcast, is What are the top two books that you always recommend to others and why?
You know, I'll share books that are part of our black belt training. I mean, they were so meaningful for me that as we're bringing in new physicians, we've actually built it into their curriculum. You know, they've got 7 stages of black belt training and it helps them to get to become an outcomes-based champion. You know, the first one is by Robert Pearl. It's called Mistreated. Just as we as a family experienced the suffering of healthcare in its existing state when my dad was faced with a terminal cancer, Dr. Pearl, who, you know, very well-known physician leader, you know, led the Permanente Medical Group, he suffered with his own father's illness and was able to understand and appreciate all the pitfalls of the existing healthcare, you know, system and where we're at today. I think understanding how big of a deal the healthcare crisis is today is like step one, because you need to have an appreciation for, you know, how bad it's gotten, how poor value that we get right now in America today for healthcare, right? We're spending a tremendous amount and we're propagating sick care. Okay, so that would be book number one. Book number two, you know, I mentioned we really focus a lot on physician development here. Oftentimes that starts with, you know, knowing yourself, then knowing others. And there's this author by the name of Patrick Lencioni. He's written many books. The first book was called The 5 Dysfunctions of Team. It's a very quick read, but it was transformative, I think, for us in a very simple and eye-opening way, how important it is to not only know yourself better, but to be able to apply yourself in building great teams and working together. The only way we're going to make a difference is in doing it together, not by ourselves. And so The 5 Dysfunctions of the Team is a great quick read. If you wanted to double click on further, more Patrick Lencioni stuff, he writes this great book called The Advantage that summarizes a lot of his key messages across a few books. But those are part of our curriculum here, because not only do we want folks to understand the need in healthcare today, but we want them to be equipped in leading themselves and leading others to make that change.
Great. For our listeners, we'll make the titles and links to these books in the episode notes. So in closing remarks, Dr. Chen, anything that you would like to add? Anything that we have not touched upon? Favorite quote, perhaps, or anything like this?
Well, one of our board members, Horst Schultz, he founded the Ritz-Carlton. He's really passionate about service. And he was on Chick-fil-A's board, and he helped convince them that, you know, you can take teenagers and they can be trained to deliver outstanding service, right? He has this quote that he continues to remind us of, and it resonates continuously in my head, which is, the higher the vision, the greater the call to action. And so we have this beautiful vision at ChenMed to be America's leading primary care provider, transforming care of the neediest population. And so as we look at that vision every day and before every meeting, and we say, oh, that's a beautiful vision, that's a high vision, that's a really aspirational vision, but we can do it. And so, but we need to act, we need to move, we need to close the gap. That's something that just motivates me and many of our other team members here.
Great. Well, Gordon, thank you so much for taking the time. I know how busy you are to talk to us on the Ivy Podcast today, and I look forward to catching up with you. I usually like to do a follow-up episode in a couple of years to see where you guys are at and basically revisit some of the things that we've talked about, see how, you know, things have changed since then.
Yeah, maybe by then all the strategies would have changed, you know.
No, but, yeah, I'm pretty sure you guys will be that leading America's physician-led, patient-centered model that you guys are working on.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your time, John. This has been, great spending time with you and just talking about, you know, all the things that's going on here at ChenMed.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.